everybody. Welcome to the show. You know where you are, Expert Talk with Tigo. And today, as always, I've got awesome guests. So you came to the right place. We're going to talk about something that's very close to my heart. You guys know I've been very public about the fact that I am a very happy adopted child. My parents were awesome. And we're going to talk to JoJo and Corey today. JoJo and Corey Rankin, they're entrepreneurs, they're husband and wife. They have an awesome organization called Our Family Strong, and they're foster parents. So they're great parents like mine were. So if you're thinking about it, if you're an adoptive child or an adopted grown-up like me, or you just want to know more about having a stronger family while you build this thing called an entrepreneurial journey, sit right there. We'll be right back.
Expert Talk is brought to you in part by Pod Nation TV, the podcast to broadcast network. Expert Talk is produced and distributed by Melrose 11 LLC. Lights, cameras, take action with Melrose 11. Our special guest today is the owners and founders of Our Family Strong, Corey and JoJo Rankin. For more information about Our Family Strong, visit ourfamilystrong.com or follow Corey and JoJo on social media at Our Strong Marriage.
Hey, JoJo and Corey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So excited to have you guys. I mean, especially doing everything that's going on. Now, people may be watching this in 2028, 2045, but right now it's 2021 and we're still in dealing with COVID, and family has become super important to everyone. And not only is it important to you, but you guys are like opening your doors and actually extending your family. How many kids have you brought in?
So over the past, decade almost, I think 9 years, we've been foster parents. We've had 30 kids in our home, which some people will say that's a little, some people will say that's a lot, but that's a lot of personalities in my opinion. But we've had a great opportunity to love a lot of children at a deeper level than I feel like most people would be able to.
Yeah. So we had 30 that have been in our home, and 5 of them came to stay forever.
Yeah.
Through adoption. But we've just had some long-term placements. We've been doing these 30 children and fostering them while going to school, while going to grad school, while working in. So we've had a great experience with that joy in our home with these kiddos.
Yeah.
So what made you decide, you know what, we're going to open our doors and we're going to bring in these wonderful children into our homes? I mean, 30 times. This isn't something that you did, you know, once and said, okay, I did that. I'm not doing that again. Yeah. You know, what made you decide, yeah, this is what we want to do?
So there's a lot to it. Obviously, we talk to each other. We communicate with each other. But prayer and just knowing that God had a plan, and that there are kids out there that really do need that extra love and that peace, and to have a peaceful home. Because when they come from hectic homes then come to another hectic home, it's not very helpful. And so we have a peaceful home. And so we just knew that we needed to do it. We prayed a lot about it and got that answer that yes, we needed to pursue foster care.
And we both have a lot of love in our heart. We both are very satisfied by serving others. That's where I find my greatest joy, is playing a role in helping others find their confidence, find their joy, and just achieve their goals. And so we both had a lot of love to give, and in giving that love, it looked like a 9-year opportunity to be foster parents. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. And I'm totally excited that you did this, because God only knows where I would have been if my parents hadn't said, you know what, we're taking her home. When I was 6 months old, I mean, I don't remember not being with them. But you did this not once, not twice, not 3 times, but 10 times 3. You know, how do you know that this child is the proper fit? How do you know that, yeah, we need to do this again? And like you said, you have 5 that are living with you permanently now. Are you done fostering? Will you be bringing in others?
We have 5. Our youngest 2 are the adoption should be finalized this year. And so 5 is a pretty good number for our family, but if the Lord says do more, we will do more. So
yeah.
I don't have a true answer for that question. Do we want to be done? Yes, but will the Lord allow us to be done? I don't know. And if we are instructed or pressed to do more, we will do more, because that is where we are as a couple, very much Christian. We seek to do the Lord's will, and that is what everything we do in life is about. And so probably not done, but maybe so.
And would you consider this your calling? You know, people say, I don't know what my calling is. Is this your calling? Is this your true passion?
So I think saving families and helping families is our passion. And that kind of our journey as entrepreneurs started that way as well. I was in my undergrad, and Corey actually got his doctorate in physical therapy. And I had always wanted to be a marriage and family therapist. And so we had a tragedy, and we felt very prompted that our mission in life was to help families. And we had already been foster parents. I was already in my undergrad to be a marriage and family therapist. And we got the prompting that we needed to start a business coaching. And so that's what we started doing. So yes, saving families in multiple aspects is our definite mission in life.
Wait. You were in school.
I was in school.
You were already a foster parent.
Mm-hmm.
You're already married.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide, you know what? We're going to just take on this whole journey of our family strong.
Yep.
Yep.
What kind of vitamins do you guys take? I got to buy stock in them.
Right?
I got to buy stock in them. So
I just follow her lead and follow her smile and
When you feel like you need to do something, I think we all know this. When especially entrepreneurs out there, they know this. When you feel like you need to do something, there's a different calling inside of you that you feel and that you know is your purpose in life. And especially when you can work side by side with your companion in doing that, it's the best thing in the entire world.
And Juan, I think the biggest thing that gives us the strength to do more, to get up each day, to start early, end late, is our network that we have. You, Sean Malone, lots and lots of good people in our world, in our space, that give us the comfort to know that what we're doing matters. What we're doing is changing lives. What we're doing is important. Because if we're not doing this work, families can potentially be destroyed. And everything that JoJo and I do is to build stronger families. Everything that we do, the very deep root of everything that we do, is to give children the best opportunity to be raised in a two-parent household. And we do that by strengthening the family from the top. If we can make a stronger marriage, the whole house wins. Everybody wins in the entire family. There's more peace at home. There's more confidence. There's more skills. So if the marriage is stronger, the parent-children bond becomes stronger. The sibling bonds become stronger. And it's just an environment where people can win. Life is hard enough.
Yeah.
With the garbage that everyone has to deal with the trials, with the struggles, we want them to be set up with the best foundation that they can. 2 loving parents, 2 parents that believe, that instill belief in these children that they can accomplish anything that they desire to accomplish, that they have a purpose, that they are called of God to do something important. And so that is how we find this strength, because we know that the attack on families is so great. Families are being destroyed left and right with divorce or separations or just the casualness of the world, making families not as valuable. The family values have eroded over the years, and relationships in the home have become casual in many instances, and we are on a mission to stop that as best we can.
Yeah.
You know, you bring up a lot of points, but before we get further down that road, I got to go back a minute and I got to ask the question, you know, were you as children, were you fostered? Did you have friends that were, I mean, what drew you to doing this in the first place?
So yeah. For us, my aunt and uncle, they have four children, one biological, three that they've actually adopted through the same county that we are currently foster parents in. They live in Utah. So foster care's adoption has always been a part of my life because my cousins are just a little bit younger than me, but they were instantly family. And also, the job that I quit in 2011 to come to physical therapy school was at a care facility for disabled adults. Many of the individuals that we served were in and out of group homes. They were struggling with the law. They were incompetent to stand trial for some of the things that they made. And when we would get them in our program, many of them would be aggressive. They would be dangerous for the group homes that they were in, and it just wasn't a safe space for them. But we would get them in our facility. The unit that I worked in was our lockdown unit. It was for the most extreme behaviors and things that we had on the whole campus altogether. But we'd get them in our program. We were able to develop structure, stability, and give them a place where they felt that they could accomplish things. We give them a space where they felt appreciated. And we were able to minimize and eliminate a lot of the aggression, a lot of the things that made them unfit for the community with some structure. And seeing over the 5 years that I was employed there, seeing just the structure that those teens, young adults had and the progress they made in life, it made us open our minds that there's so many children in foster care that just need an opportunity to be loved. There's so many children that just need someone to believe in them. And we have that opportunity. The approach that we take for fostering is that any child that comes into our home, we will love them with all the love that we have in us to share and express with them. And regardless of how long they've been in our home, at least for a period of time, they felt love. They've been given confidence that they are worth it, that they are able to accomplish great things. And sometimes that resulted in an 18-hour placement in our home, and sometimes that resulted in nearly 2 years before reunification with family. And so regardless of the time frame, we will love whoever enters our home with as much love as we have to give for the period of time that they're in our home.
You know, we have to, you know, just kind of stop for a second and think about it, because, you know, one of my biggest like fights is that black plastic bag that happens to some of the foster kids when they hit 18 and they get their 18th birthday, and these foster families that don't really care about the kids. They're just there for the paycheck. You know, the minute that kid hits 18, they sit him outside and he comes home or she comes home from school, you know, and they haven't even graduated yet in most cases, and find all their stuff in black garbage bags sitting outside. And, you know, you need more people like yourselves that really, really care about these kids. They're not just a paycheck. They're not just a way for people to buy another car or pay for their mortgage. They're human beings. And I want to applaud you, you know,
thank you.
Because right now, you know, with COVID and everything, divorce rate is through the roof right now because people have been trapped in their own homes with the person they married, and they go, when did I marry him? You know,
yeah.
When did that happen? You know, how did this happen? So divorce rates are going crazy. Kids are having all kinds of issues, and you guys, you know, are blazing through. So paint a picture for me. Let's go a little lighter. Paint a picture for me. All the kids, I know you have two that went back to school. We mentioned that earlier before we started the show, so we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But how was it for the last year? All of them home. You guys are home. What happened?
Yeah, it was rough. Honestly, it was rough because that's a lot of emotions. And I'm sure all parents can feel this. You know, you're trying to do your business. You're trying to do your work. and you have to do virtual learning, and you have to be parent too, and you have to, especially with our five kids, they're so young. We have a 2-year-old. Well, now he's three.
He's now three.
He turned three on Sunday, but 3, 4, 4, 5, and 8, like Corey had just said. And so that's a lot of toddler emotions. And then our poor 8-year-old who has to deal with a lot of toddler emotions. And so there's a few things that we do. So first of all, and we do this with our business too. And we make sure that we get our children's input, one, on the business, because it is a family business. And we want to make sure that we know what children need, what more parents can improve on, what we can improve on, because we're not perfect parents. There's no such thing as a perfect parent. You know, I mean, if we don't have our kids' laundry done, like, you know, it always, yeah, no, we're not, but
she's pretty close.
We're not. But the thing is we really try hard to give them the one-on-one attention because there are so many of them. And so if we can even do, what we do is we do 10 minutes a day, just one-on-one with mom and one kid, dad and one kid. And that way the child gets to do whatever they want to do in those 10 minutes, because children, they don't really have a time. They don't have concept of time. And so a 10 minute to a toddler, that's a long time. And for a parent, it's a great bonding time to be able to just sit and think and talk. And then we would just do that every day. We would alternate who gets which child, but also on top of that, we had real conversations at the dinner table. We would talk about what's hard for you. Corey can kind of explain it a little better, but we do what's called the struggle bus. And that's something we usually do with our couples, but it works well with kids. And so we utilized it like crazy in COVID.
It's been a huge blessing for us. So our children love dinosaurs. They love the dirt. They love bike rides and they love cars. They love buses. They love
tractors. We have four boys and one girl, so just FYI.
this really comes into play for us a lot. We've been riding the struggle bus through COVID, and we've been loving every minute of it. Many of you, I'm sure, have probably said, oh, the struggle's real. I'm riding the struggle bus, and that's been a negative thing. That's been a thing to indicate that you've been overwhelmed, that you've been frustrated, that things are very challenging. But for us, we've taken that challenge, put a positive spin on it in a way that allows us to find great joy in that. And so the way the struggle bus works is we get on the struggle bus by collectively as a family or as a couple, whatever works best for you. We get on the struggle bus by sharing three things that happened to us that day that were uncomfortable, that were a struggle, that were challenging, that were hard, that made us stretch, that feel like we couldn't do it, whatever that struggle of the day was, we share that with each other. And not only do we share it, but then we listen to the needs of the other people. So that's how we get on the struggle bus, is really just talking about our struggles. Because what happens is, I'm sure everyone that sees this or will see this has had this experience before. A parent or a spouse has said, how was your day? Oh, it was good. It was fine. It was long. I'm tired. Whatever our 20-second response was, and that's the end of the conversation. The tired dad comes home from work and goes straight to the couch or to the dinner. The kids come home from school and go straight to their room. Maybe they do homework. Maybe they go straight to a device. But as we ride the struggle bus, usually in the evenings in our home, it takes a 20-second non-conversation to something that's 2 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes. And especially when JoJo and I do it together, it really becomes an opportunity for emotional connection. It really helps us to appreciate what each other are enduring each day, because I don't truly know what JoJo experiences at work and at school and has a mom and her overwhelm. And she doesn't truly know my things, and she won't until I tell her, until we have that conversation. So we get on the struggle bus by sharing those three things, and we get off the struggle bus by sharing three things that we're grateful for that day. Either things that we're grateful, ways we recognize the hand of the Lord in our life. And as we express our gratitude, we don't stay in that struggle for very long. We have the ability to serve. But the thing that becomes the most important, the thing that's been the biggest game changer for us riding the struggle bus for a positive in our home, is once we hear the struggles, the follow-up is much more important than the actual struggles, because then the next play is, especially for JoJo and I, what is one thing that I can do to lighten the burden of my spouse today. So we talk about the struggle bus tonight. Tomorrow morning when I wake up, I will intentionally develop something that I could do that will lighten JoJo's burden. And it's going to be something that I would not normally do. If JoJo does the dishes all the time, then I will do the dishes today so she can do her homework. And the way, oftentimes the way that I know what I need to do to lighten her burden is because I've listened to the struggles that she shared with me the night before. And I picked something that may carry over and be a struggle again today. So that has been huge for our family.
And I have to say, so there's two things. So one, I want to give an example of it. But two, okay. Corey didn't used to be, he was a lot like most men where you would do that. How was your day? Good. Fine. He wasn't a communicator. So I know a lot of people will look at us like, oh my gosh, they're the perfect couple. But like, we had to learn and grow as well. Every couple will, and every couple does. So he has come a long way and he will communicate now, where I think a lot of women come to us and they say, I don't know how to communicate with their spouse. As soon as we open up a few things for the men to be able to open up these comfort, these communication skills, then it enhances the relationship because it does build that emotional bond. But I want to share a real quick experience. So right after COVID started, my 7-year-old was in second grade and school had just ended, right? It was that weekend where everything happened. So we have a huge treehouse and we go up on the treehouse with all 5 kids and we usually do popsicles and we just talk about what's hard for you. And so I went around all the kids and I said, what's hard for you? And he said to me, Mom, what's hard for me right now is that I don't get to see my teacher ever again. As a parent, I would have never guessed that was his struggle. Never guessed. Would have never guessed. Like, I would have thought he'd said, peace out, school. Like, I don't care, you know? But it wasn't. Yep. It was his teacher. He didn't get to say goodbye to his teacher. And if you go backwards, he was adopted through foster care. He was abandoned at Walmart. Like, there were so many things.
Oh, wow.
Of course he needed to say goodbye to that one adult. It wasn't another parent failing or another adult failing him. He didn't get that closure. So what do we have to do? We messaged the teacher, was able to get that closure for him. But I would have never been able to do that if I wouldn't have ever asked.
One, we miss a lot of opportunities because we don't ask. For instance, that example, school ended on a Friday. It was weekend.
Yeah.
The world shut down Sunday evening going into Monday. So he never returned to the last 6 weeks of the second grade school year. And so we miss a lot of opportunities because we just aren't still, because we're so busy, because we're not navigating life in our home first. We're navigating the craziness of the world and we miss opportunities in the home.
Yeah.
You know, I would say you guys should teach this, but you do teach this. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, you know, they've got some stuff. It's called Our Family Strong. And they're going to talk about how they're helping other families. So if you're sitting there like I am, you know, I had this flashback going. There was a sitcom once where the mother said, do you think he came out that way? You know, he didn't come in a kit. That took years for us to get here. They've actually figured out how to help you do what they're doing. And in my life, you know, I don't need a struggle bus. I need like a struggle train. So sit right there. We'll be right back.
Our special guest today is the owners and founders of Our Family Strong, Corey and JoJo Rankin. For more information about Our Family Strong, visit ourfamilystrong.com or follow Corey and JoJo on social media at Our Strong Marriage.
Hey, welcome back. Now, if you're sitting there like I am, I was sitting here going, I need to be making a list. You know, I really do need maybe the double dutch bus of struggle. It's been a rough time. I totally get it. And maybe you're sitting there going, well, how did they figure that out? And how do they work that out? And can they help me? Well, let's ask them. Can you help other people? Is this something that you do? Do you have a program? What's going on?
Yes, absolutely. We do have a program. We have a couple of programs.
So the first program where we like to start with one-on-one coaching, because every individual, every couple is different. They have super strengths and different challenges, different experiences. She just put on the screen a place that you can go to the web address and schedule an appointment with us if you did want to set a game plan or how you can establish and grow in your marriage, in your home, as a husband, as a father, as a mom, as a wife, whatever struggle you have, wherever you want to grow, you can reach us there. But the program that we do most is that we start with a 6-week one-on-one coaching program. JoJo and the couple that we serve, we really dive deep into where are you? Where have things changed in your relationship? Where do you want to go? What improvements do you want to get? And then we really make a game plan in the one-on-one coaching for 6 weeks. You get an hour call with us. We really dive into strategies and techniques and practice these principles that we teach, because ultimately we want to do such a good job and deliver at such a high level that we can replace ourselves. And what I mean by replace ourselves is you have so many tools, you have so much confidence that the fights in your home decrease, the poor communication is changed and becomes effective communication. We want to take a roommate status couple to someone that's fulfilled, loving, thriving their relationship. We want to take more peace in the home. We want to help you as an entrepreneur develop greater family business balance, because what happens, we see a lot of time an entrepreneur feels and they believe this myth that if I just work harder in the business, my family will be blessed. That's not true, because what happens is they go hard in the business, start early, end late, miss family meals, miss the kids' activities, all for making the business grow, but the family becomes second place. And so the main thing that we focus on in our coaching program is, where are you? Where in your current relationship do you feel was the very best? Like you feel like you're in Disneyland, the magical place on earth, that feel like it was just such a fairy tale because your relationship was so great. We take you back to that point and we evaluate what changed. And usually the answer is, as an entrepreneur became more involved in their business, the dates started to fade, the communication started to decrease and become ineffective or not as frequent as it needed to be. And as those things start to fade, we become a bit more casual. The emotional connection starts to fade. Physical intimacy starts to fade. And before we know it, we have a wedge. We're like, this is not the relationship that we once had, that we once loved, that we once wanted to tell our friends about. We are struggling. So we can help entrepreneurs very quickly get back to a place where their family is the first priority, which is our ultimate goal. We want every entrepreneur to have a thriving business and a thriving marriage. Both are important, but we want your profits in your business to increase because you focus on your relationships at home.
And on top of that, when we first set out, we didn't realize the results we were giving. We thought we were just marriage coaching, but as we would talk to the couples, they were reporting in the testimonials that we increased their profits in their business. And I thought that was interesting because most of the couples we work with, one's an entrepreneur, the other one's a non-entrepreneur. But as they were able to have that peace in their home, their profits were able to increase because they had the strength to be able to focus on what they needed to when they were working, when they were doing their business stuff, and they weren't focused on fights. They weren't focused on dysfunction in the home. And so it was a really amazing feeling for us to see that, because that wasn't our intention in the beginning.
So we were increasing profits in the business on accident. So now we do it on purpose because we know that if things are not going well at home, it's very challenging to show up in your business at the best version of yourself. And us as entrepreneurs, whatever population or niche or community that we serve, we are very creative. We solve problems as an entrepreneur. And if our problems are so great at home, our ability to be effective, to love, to serve, to be trusted, people work with you who know, like, and trust you. And if things are going well at home, you may not be as likable because you're irritable. You're just not showing up the way that you need to be. And so we want you to show up. We want you to make as much money as possible, because what happens is money is a tool to for good. It can be used poorly, but money is a tool to help you achieve what you want. So if we fix things or improve things at home, the profits in your business will improve. Now you can achieve the things that you started out to achieve as an entrepreneur. You can have the financial freedom. You can have the time freedom. You can do the things that you want to do with your family. You can vacation. You can go on trips. You can set your own schedule so you're there for every activity your children do. And everybody wins. As we elevate the home, we will elevate the business, which will in turn elevate the home and family even more. And when a family is strong, when our family is strong, when your family is strong, a lot of this hatred or unkindness or struggle that we see in the world can disappear. Families stay together. Divorce rates will decrease. Children will have greater accomplishments. They'll be more confident to go to school or pursue a trade that helps them fulfill their purpose. There's a lot of garbage in the world that could be solved with a little bit more love, with a little bit more kindness, with a little bit better quality relationships at home. A lot of this problem, especially youth who are in trouble with the law or drugs, can be eliminated if they're raised in a home with love and support. And so that is how we help people. We take you where you are and take you where you want to be for a thriving business and a thriving family.
You know, I said you guys were amazing when we had our first conversation before the interview, and I'm just floored. I know I'm going to have to let you get out of here. We could talk about this all day. It is definitely something that needs to be out there. I got to have you come back because I know people have a lot of questions. I'm going to let this ticker tape go by for a little bit so people know how to find you on Facebook, and then we'll put the web address up again. But I do have a question. I know that other people are out there thinking, you know, yeah, right now everything is pretty much still virtual, but your client base, are they everywhere? Are you only looking in your local town? Who are your coaching clients?
Yeah, so we do our meetings via Zoom. And so our clients are all across. We typically stay within the United States, but we have given assistance to people in India and Germany. And so our base is United States, but Zoom can go anywhere. So yeah.
If you have a love for your spouse and you have a desire to take your current situation and make it better, let's chat, because likely there's something we can do to help you establish a game plan to get better. Because I don't know about you, but the last thing I want is to be an entrepreneur that my children say when they're at the playground with their friends, oh, my dad misses every sporting event. My dad works too much and never has the connection that he has with me. And I can promise there's many, many entrepreneurs that their children might say that to their friends right now, and you don't even know it because you're working too much in the business.
Well, I'm definitely one of those children, so I can relate. You know, my dad was never home. You know, he worked in another state, and he worked at a steel mill, so he was a labor worker. And, you know, I think he saw one of my games.
Yeah.
And the only reason he saw that game is because he left his house keys and it went into overtime and it irritated the crap out of him because he was super tired and he just wanted to go home, but he had to stay there until the game was over. I think that's the only game he saw, and the only big event he did was a museum trip when I was like in fourth grade. And he did come to my graduation, but he made me promise that I was really going to walk across the stage because otherwise he didn't want to give up his afternoon. I remember that like it was yesterday. It was 40 years ago, you know? Yeah. So I definitely can relate to what you're saying. And I truly, truly appreciate you guys coming on and sharing. I do want to ask before I let you out of the hot seat, you know, if someone is looking at this right now and they're going, I want to be a foster parent. I've always thought about it. You know, what do I have to do? Now, this airs everywhere around the world, but here in the United States, what would you tell them, you know, the first initial step to be if they really want to be a foster parent?
Yeah, so we're always open to talking to people about foster care too, because obviously we've been doing it for a while. The state-to-state requirements are different, but every state will have a .gov site that they can go to. Just Google foster care. And most of the states have like an introduction meeting where you can get information. Where you in Vegas, we do like a in person sit down and let me tell you about what foster care is all about. And it's like an hour meeting. Most states will do that. And so that's the first place to start. Almost every state as well has foster parent Facebook groups for that support. And so they're not funded by the state or anything like that, but they're just foster parent awareness, you know, resources. So you can always join one of those groups in your state and ask questions, because nobody knows better than the foster parents, right?
There's so many options. We are currently licensed as foster parents through our local county. There's private options. There's so many different options. But our experience is through the county. And let me just share you our experience through our journey to foster care licensure and placement. So we went to that initial orientation, that information meeting. They shared with us what it's like, how to do foster care, how to get going. And if it's something that we wanted to pursue, they had an application for us to fill out about background check. Every foster parent will have to start and initiate their process with clearing a background check. So we like, okay, this is something we wanted to do. We filled out the background check, everything cleared. They scheduled our training. For Nevada, we have a 10-week, 30-hour training, 3 hours once a week for 10 weeks. We did the training initially at the start, week one or two, they come to our home and evaluate. These things need to change or these things need to be updated so you're in compliance, so your home is safe. You go through the 10-week training for us, talked about just how to navigate the system, how what it would look like to be foster parents, how to navigate challenges, how to determine what age group or what would be a good fit for you, what you think your family can handle, how do you take care of your home, how do you manage this transition, this disruption, this change, this trauma in your home, both good and bad adjustments, and then a final visit to approve our home. And once that happens, we became officially licensed. And for us, the need, when we were in our training, they said there was 1,000 foster homes that were in our community and 3,000 children in care. So there's not nearly enough resources for the children that are in foster care. So if you have a lot of love to give, you have the ability to be foster parents, it's very rewarding. It's very challenging. But I want to challenge you to step up, because there is a need. Our community doesn't have the resources. I imagine your community is pretty similar. So go to your local Google search, find the website, figure out what that initial organization or introduction meeting looks like. They'll give you the details to proceed forward, and then you can become a foster parent very quickly. Like I said, the resources aren't enough. We got our very first placement less than 24 hours when our license became official. Actually, I got a call from my licensing worker saying, your license official, you're good to start taking placements. That was like in the middle of the afternoon. I went to play racquetball. While I was playing racquetball, I missed two calls for potential placements. And then the following day, we brought home a little two-year-old boy for our first placement. So it happened very, very quickly. Yeah. So there is a need. If that is something you can find in your heart to do, these children will really be blessed.
Wow. I can't think of a better way to close out this segment. I'm going to say this segment because I'm going to get Corey and JoJo back. Y'all know I will. I'll get them back. So this segment for the episodes, because, you know, right now, family is the center word of everything. We had the ticker tape going earlier. I let it run again. And, you know, I just want to thank you for being on. You two are absolutely amazing. I mean, you know, in 2021, you don't think families are out there like that, you know? And for people that don't recognize it, it's like, we're in Vegas, okay? We didn't know that when we started, when we first had our conversation. We didn't realize we're literally neighbors, okay? Yeah. We're in Vegas, and y'all call this Sin City. And this is what Corey and JoJo are doing. So if we can do this in Sin City, what can y'all do? I want to thank you so much for being on. I want to thank you so much for being a part of the show. You're fantastic.
I just want to say thank one you. Thing before we end. Anybody that is feeling overwhelmed, you matter. You can take whatever relationships you have currently in your life and make them better, even if they've been a terrible experience or they haven't been what you've been seeking. You matter. you are worth it. You have the ability to be loved. You have the ability to love. So whatever you're feeling now with hearing this message today, you matter. Your relationships can improve. There are people in your life that love you or will love you if you give them the opportunity. You are never alone if you will reach out to those who around you. You might have to reach far, but there's going to be someone in your life that will listen. If you're struggling, if you're overwhelmed, there will be someone in your life that you can find that will listen, that will help you, that will support you. And if that resonates with you, message us. We will listen. We will be that support. Whether you work with us or not, we don't care. We want you to have a strong business, strong marriage. We want you to have relationships that are meaningful and fulfilling for you. And if that looks like just a conversation with us, great. If that looks like a resource somewhere else, great. But you matter. Everyone matters. Everyone needs to be loved and can love.
Well, usually right about now, I would do a wrap up, but I can't do a better wrap up than what Corey just did. Okay. So I'm just going to do this and say thank you for watching. I hope you come back next time. And as always, I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you next time.